Welcome to Knowing God in the Word, brought to you by the Word of Truth Ministry, publishers of Seed and Bread. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. This radio program is for the purpose of helping listeners fulfill the greatest need we have as believers, to know God. Please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org for a study guide outline of today's lesson as Nathan will begin his teaching series on the kingdom of God with the theme of the Bible. And now, Bible teacher Nathan Johnson.
Thanks, Bob. Understanding the theme of a book can be very instructive in coming to grasp its real message. If you were reading a book and you knew the theme of that book was war, well, that would affect how you look at the book probably from the beginning. If you knew the theme of the book was racism, well, your knowledge of the theme of that book would help you to understand from the very beginning as you were studying it what the book had to say. So in the same way as knowing the theme of any human-written book can help us to understand it, I believe in the same way it will help us greatly in Bible study to know what the theme of God's book, the Bible, actually is. Now, certainly, God and life and all these things are very complex, and we would have to admit that the Bible has many themes. But if we had to pick just one, what is the theme of the Bible? Well, I think people would have many suggestions as to what they would think the theme of the Bible might be. For example, some might say that the theme of the Bible is God, or that the theme of the Bible is Jesus Christ. Well, of course, God and Jesus Christ, who is God, very important, but the thing is, he is the main character, but he's not really the theme of the Bible. We might guess that the theme is getting to know God. And of course, the name of our radio program is Knowing God and the Word. And this, I believe, is our purpose in studying the Bible. Should be our ultimate purpose in studying the Bible is getting to know God. That's what the name of our program is all about. But at the same time, I don't think getting to know God is the theme of the Bible. It's our purpose in Bible study, but it's not the theme of the Bible. Some would suggest that salvation is the theme of the Bible. Well, there is no doubt that this is a theme that relates to the overall theme. And salvation is certainly the starting point from which we all must begin. If we don't have salvation and eternal life ourselves, well, nothing else that the Bible offers is really going to benefit us. And yet, as important as salvation is, it is not the theme of the Bible. Some might suggest that Christ's death and resurrection are the theme. Well, this great event of Christ's death on the cross, his burial and his resurrection, there's no doubt about it that this is the central act of the Bible. It's the turning point upon which all else is based. It brings everything else together. And yet, I don't believe it's the theme of the Bible. Some would suggest that the theme of the Bible is the church. Well, I don't know about what we call the church in our society, but if we would define that as the Greek word ekklesia and the Hebrew word kahal, well, certainly those things have a place. They're spoken of in the Bible as very important. But the church or the ekklesia or the kahal, that's not the theme of the Bible. Some might suggest Israel. Well, Israel is the nation that is the chosen people of God. But the thing is, it was never all about them. Remember when God was speaking to Abraham in Genesis 22 and verse 18, he said, "In your seed, all the nations of the earth shall be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice." So Israel is a chosen people, but it was never all about them. And so they're not the theme of the Bible. Well, how about just God's people in general? Well, there's no doubt about it. They fill the Word of God. Many of the stories and the historical parts of the Bible are about them, but they are only related to the theme. God's people are not the theme of the Bible. Those of you who know that I am a dispensationalist. Might wonder if I would think that dispensationalism is the theme of the Bible. Well, I am a dispensationalist because I believe dispensationalism is an important tool. And I think it's crucial for understanding the Bible correctly. And yet, at the same time, it's only a tool for understanding the Bible, and it certainly is not the theme of the Bible. Some might say, what about heaven? Maybe heaven's the theme. Well, heaven is definitely a location in the Bible, but I certainly don't think it's the theme of the Bible. Well, some might suggest truth. Maybe truth is the theme of the Bible. Well, certainly truth is found only in God. And everything in the Bible, which is God's written word, everything it says is true. And yet, truth is not the theme of the Bible. It's certainly an aspect of the Bible, but it's not the theme. Some might say, well, maybe love. Well, God's love is crucial. Without God's love, what hope would poor fallen sinners like we are, what hope would we have? So God's love is a critical thing, and yet I don't believe that God's love is the theme of the Bible. What about faith? Some might ask. Well, faith, again, is incredibly important. Without faith, as Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So faith is so important that without it, it's impossible to please God. And how do we get faith? How does faith come? Well, Romans 10:17 tells us, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So it's by the Bible, the word of God, that faith comes. And yet at the same time, I don't believe that faith is the theme of the Bible. Others might say, well, what about grace? Well, God's grace is incredibly important. Without God's grace, God's undeserved favor shown toward people like us who don't deserve anything but wrath and punishment from God. Without God's grace, we would all be lost. But at the same time, I don't believe that grace is the theme of the Bible. What about resurrection, some might suggest? Well, resurrection is crucial. Without this, none of us who are destined to die, none of us would be saved without resurrection. And certainly Christ's sacrifice on our behalf, we only know that it was accepted, that it was good, that it was efficacious, because he rose from the dead. And without the resurrection, his death was meaningless. But as important as resurrection is, I don't believe that resurrection is the theme of the Bible. What about redemption, others might say? Well, redemption is how God saves us. He redeems us, fallen sinners, from the sin, the death that we were destined for, from Satan who had taken charge of us. So God does redeem us, he does save us, but I don't think redemption is the theme of the Bible. What about the gospel, others might say? Well, the gospel is, again, incredibly important. The gospel is the message that we must believe to be saved. But at the same time, I don't believe that the gospel of our salvation is the theme of the Bible. And if we had a room full of people and they're all offering their suggestions, we could probably come up with many other possible themes. And the problem is that there is no one verse in the Bible that says, this is the theme of the Bible. So you can't really prove it by a statement of Scripture that says this is what the theme of the Bible is. However, I might be able to demonstrate the theme by going through the whole Bible and showing how it's the theme all the way through. Yeah, this would be very time-consuming. I certainly couldn't do it in a single radio message. So what I'm going to do to state what I think is the theme of the Bible is just to state my belief and let you decide for yourself. So what do I believe is the theme of the Bible? Well, I believe the theme of the Bible is the kingdom of God. Now, many of the other themes that were listed earlier, many of those other themes are quite simply related to this one, ultimately. But I believe that this is the ultimate theme of the Bible. God's kingdom, I believe, is the focus of what he does. It's the purpose of his interactions with people. It's the goal of his work here on earth. Now, the kingdom of God is in many ways a New Testament phrase. But that doesn't mean it's not in the Old Testament. It certainly couldn't be the theme if it wasn't. And the fact is, it's called by many other names in the Bible. It is the theme of many stories. It's what is being set forth in many prophecies. Many actions of God are relating and leading on to it, even if it's not specifically stated so. Now, even when we get to the New Testament and to Paul's ministry, we can see how important the kingdom of God is. For example, in Acts chapter 28 and verse 23, Paul here had been brought as a prisoner to Rome. And he had the opportunity to speak to the Jewish leaders in Rome. These were some of the most powerful men among the Jews in the diaspora, which means the Jews who were dispersed outside the land of Israel. These are some of the most powerful men among the diaspora. And they had given Paul a whole day to speak to them. That shows the respect they had for Paul as being a Pharisee of the Pharisees and all the things he had been. So what was his message? Paul, when he was going to speak to the most important men, some of the most important men in Israel outside the land, he was going to speak to them for an entire day. What would his theme be? Well, in Acts 28:23, we read, "So when they had appointed him a day, many came to him at his lodging, to whom he explained and solemnly testified," what? "Of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus, from both the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning till evening." So he had two themes on his day-long interview with the most powerful Jews in Rome, and perhaps the most powerful Jews outside the land. And those themes were the kingdom of God and Jesus. And then we see throughout Paul's stay in Rome that this remained his theme. Acts chapter 28 and verse 30. It says, "Then Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own rented house, and received all who came to him, preaching," what? "The kingdom of God, and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him." So for 2 whole years, Paul's message to all who came to him was twofold. It was the kingdom of God, and it was the things concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. So I think that shows us how incredibly important the kingdom of God is. And Paul's teaching in Rome covered two things: the theme of the Bible and the main character of the Bible, the kingdom of God and the Lord Jesus Christ. So when we talk about the kingdom of God being the theme, what is the kingdom of God? That must be our next question. What is it, this theme of the Bible? Well, since a synonymous phrase for the kingdom of God is the kingdom of heaven in the Gospel of Matthew, some people assume that the kingdom of God just means heaven. And they could point to a passage like Luke 13:28, which says, "There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out." And they might say, well, that sounds like heaven, doesn't it? But what about Luke 17, verses 20 through 21, which says, "Now when he," that is the Lord Jesus, "was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, he answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there, for indeed the kingdom of God is within you.'" Well, here the Lord Jesus Christ talks about the kingdom of God coming. And how could heaven come? Well, heaven's a place. It can't come. So the kingdom of God cannot be heaven. Then there are some very scholarly and learned men, like Scofield in his Scofield Reference Bible, or Bullinger in his Companion Bible. They suggest that the kingdom of God is God's rule and sovereignty over the universe. They say it's his ultimate authority that's always has been and always will be, that extends to everything that there is. That's the kingdom of God. Yet again, consider Luke 17, 20, and 21. No one was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come. He answered them and said, "The kingdom of God does not come with observation." Now how could God's universal rule and sovereignty over everything that ever has been and ever will be, how could that come? Well, obviously it can't. So God's universal sovereignty and rule that always has been and always will be obviously cannot be the kingdom of God. Some think that the kingdom of God means the church, or Christianity, or as it's called, Christendom. And they show this when they speak in phrases like they talk about that we are spreading the kingdom. As they're trying to get people to join churches, they're trying to get people to believe the gospel. And for a lot of people, the two are synonymous. I don't think they are. But they talk about that as spreading the kingdom. Yet again, this does not fit with the Bible evidence. Luke 13, 28, again, "There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God and yourselves thrust out." Well, are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to be in the church? No. Are they to be in Christendom or Christianity? No. So obviously, Christendom, Christianity, the church, these are not the kingdom of God. Some think, well, maybe the kingdom of God is a name for all believers. Maybe the kingdom of God just means all the believers. Well, what about Luke 19:11? "Now, as they heard these things, he spoke another parable, because he was near Jerusalem, and because they thought the kingdom of God would appear immediately." So, were these people thinking that all believers were going to appear immediately? How could all believers appear immediately? Obviously, they couldn't. Then there's Luke 21:31. "So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near." Well, how could you see things happening and know that all believers are near? Obviously not. All believers are obviously not the kingdom of God. Others say, well, the kingdom of God is a spiritual thing that happens in people's hearts. And they have two verses that they quote to prove this. Luke 17:21, that says, "Nor will they say, 'See here,' or 'See there,' for indeed the kingdom of God is within you." And they say, "See, the kingdom of God is within you." It's a spiritual thing in people's hearts. Then they use Romans 14:17 as well. "For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." And they say, "See, all the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Well, though this idea may seem to fit in these two passages, the problem is that it does not fit with the rest of the occurrences in the New Testament. And your idea has to fit with the whole of the Bible, not just two verses. What about Luke 22:18? "For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Was the Lord not going to drink of the fruit of the vine until something spiritual came into men's hearts? This doesn't make any sense. Well, obviously, it's a difficult thing to figure out what the kingdom of God is, but often I think the reason we have trouble figuring out things in Scripture is because we did not go basic enough. And the thing is, before we can learn what the kingdom of God is, we first must know what is a kingdom. Now, our English word kingdom comes from two words back in England. And those two words are king's doom. Now, we know what doom means today. When you speak of, "I'm doomed," you mean I'm sunk. I'm at the end. I'm destined for destruction or whatever. Well, no, that's not what doom meant originally. A doom was a law. It later changed in meaning. When the law was against you, you'd say, "I'm doomed," and then it came to mean you're in for a terrible fate. But doom originally was just a law. And the king's doom were the king's laws. And king's doom was shortened to kingdom, which just meant everywhere that the king's law held sway. But ultimately, the word we need to worry about is not the English word kingdom, but the Greek word that the Bible uses. And that's the word basileia, from basileus, which is a king or an absolute ruler. Now, since our Bibles are translated to English first in England, they translated this word basileia as kingdom, since that was their form of government. Now, if they had been translating to English in Russia, of course, that wouldn't make sense, but suppose they were doing it, well, then they might have made it tsardom instead of kingdom. If it had been translated in Persia, they might have made it empire instead of kingdom. Now, in the USA, where I am, and probably most of my listeners are, we have governors. Our word for the same idea as kingdom, our word is government. And if we're going to translate that to modern English in the United States today, I think the way we should translate kingdom is by government. And so therefore, I believe that the kingdom of God is the government of God. And I believe that if we examine the Bible from front to back, we would discover that the teaching of the Bible is clearly that someday the government of God is going to rule over all nations on earth. Now, many deny such a fact. They deny the fact that the kingdom is going to someday rule over this earth. And the most notable ones who deny this are the amillennialists. Or also, some of them call themselves the preterists. They go even a little farther than the amillennialists. Yet, in spite of their claims, I believe that the fact that God is going to someday rule over this world and take control of the world's governments is the clear teaching of Scripture. And if we clear away all the tradition and all the, quite frankly, the superstitions surrounding this word kingdom, I think it is clear enough to see it. That the kingdom of God is the government of God, and that the government of God is coming. Now many repeat by rote the Lord's Prayer, which says, "Thy kingdom come." And they repeat that over and over and over again. Yet if they really knew what the kingdom was, I would have to question, do they really want this? Today in the United States, we have the government of the people, by the people, and for the people. Yet when God's kingdom comes, the government will no longer be of the people, by the people, and for the people. Instead, the government will be of God, by God, and for God. When God's government comes, there will be no freedom of religion. Men will no longer be free to rule their own affairs, or to express themselves, as the saying is, to express themselves however they see fit. And instead, at that time, everything on earth will be ruled and governed by God. Now, I would ask you, do you really want that when you pray, "Thy kingdom come"? The fact is that our earth is in a mess. And just look at it, it's in a mess. And the reality is that we truly need God to step in and to set things right. The Bible teaches that not only do we need this, but that someday God will do this. This is the hope for this sad, fallen world. And I believe ultimately that this, the kingdom of God, is the theme of the Bible. So in conclusion, I believe that the theme of the Bible is the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the plan that God is working to accomplish and what he is setting forth as his goal in his word. So it will help us immensely in studying the Bible to understand that the theme of the Bible is the kingdom, the government of God.
If we ever want a true understanding of the Bible, we need a true understanding of the kingdom of God. When we pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done," we are in truth praying for God to bring his government upon this earth. This is the hope of mankind. This is the promise of God. Thank you, Nathan, for your lesson on the theme of the Bible. On our next program, Nathan will continue his teaching series on the kingdom of God with passages on the kingdom. Thank you for joining us today. We trust that you are learning that the more we study God's Word, the more we can know God. For more information on the program, to hear past programs, and for other downloadable material that Nathan has produced, please visit our website at knowinggodintheword.org. We also send out a weekly email newsletter in which Nathan does the same thing he does on this radio program, going verse by verse through the Bible and then discussing what it means. Email Nathan at nathan@knowinggodintheword.org and ask to be placed on this mailing list. You can also write to us with Bible questions or comments. For more Bible study literature by Nathan and other Bible teachers, including Seed and Bread Bible studies, please visit the Word of Truth Ministry at seedandbread.org or write to the Word of Truth Ministry, P.O. Box 1609, Canyon Country, California, 91386. Although your donations are always appreciated, you will not be solicited for funds in any way when you write, so feel free to contact us. I'm your host, Bob Juno, with Bible teacher Nathan Johnson. We'll say so long for now, but we always look forward to you joining us next week on Knowing God in the Word.